If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Whatever.
Is tedious on the right stuff.biz.
Well, that didn't quite work for a second. We're here. Hi, hello, everyone. It is the Daily Show 1493. I'm gonna have to turn this back up now.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
I'm actually using my mixer controller because my dryer.
It's not working. I'm hearing
trying,
that. Like,
try to yeah. sign up to be one of the co-hosts today. But if I mute myself.
Now we can't hear it. Now
exactly.
If you could capture that particular frequency and just exclude it. Watch, it would be like your voice also carries that frequency at certain ranges. So it would start sounding really weird.
Well, yeah, there would be a deep cut in the Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Showa on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz. The overall EQ band of my voice, it wouldn't be good. There'd be a hole in the sound.
I'm kind of curious what that would sound like, though. Again, my question remains, I guess, and this is for me an unresolved mystery, is why the clothes can't be dried just when we're not recording.
It's because they just got washed, so it's dry them now. They're wet.
Okay, but we record like 4 hours out of a day. 3 times a week, I kind of feel like there's other times when there's clothes can be washed.
Well, these are the 4 hours a day when the clothes get dried.
It always overlaps. There's just no possible scheduling changes that can be made to this.
No, because you'll burn your house down.
Right. If I'm not here, I have to use the dryer while I'm sitting next to it in case a fire. Remember that time that it fried the mouse? Remember the fried mouse that I had?
I remember the fried mouse, but that was the electrical, not the dryer itself.
The mouse climbed into the electrical hookup, and it bridged the hot in the ground, and it fried itself. So basically, there was no house fire. It was just fried mouse,
right?
Which was awful.
That was bad.
And then I had to. Then I had to
At some
replace,
point, though, once it's fried and it stops stinking,
that's
then
why
it doesn't
I keep
matter.
Snakes in my house. Just, get rid of the mice.
Just keep them in your house. Yeah, inside your house, just slithering around.
You just want snakes patrolling.
Do you snakes loose in your house just slithering around?
Not right now.
Surprised.
Not today. I have had in the past.
Oh, you're not going to post any video?
I will never.
You're not going to post any video online of snakes biting you like RFK did? RFK Jr. just got.
Yeah.
He's just
I was watching that the other day. It was like, why am I not surprised? RFK, of course, he grabs snakes. Course.
Yeah, well, it's so weird. The way it looks is so strange. He runs up and he's like, "Yeah, they're not venomous." Like, okay, there's no reason
you're
tormenting them and letting them bite you. Like, obviously,
I actually commented on that. I was like, "Dude, buy yourself a snake hook. They're only like $10, man."
But also, like, okay, so he grabs them. I think is it like what kind of showing off is this? Because it's like, all right, so you grab.
No, he's just that kind of guy.
Science, for the reason of the nation's health needs to know how I can grab snakes.
Here's my thing. It's like you present. Like, I fucking hate snakes. Okay, I don't want to fuck with snakes. I don't want to touch them. I don't want them in my house. I don't want them on my property. However, this guy claims, but I don't believe in torturing any animal or being cruel to any animal. So this guy claims that he is like in touch with nature. Those snakes don't like what you're doing. That's why they're biting you.
Snakes and sparklers.
So, like, I would say, honestly, I think it's more respectful to just kill the snake.
Where is the RFK video of that? I actually want
or trap it correctly and then eject it someplace else. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, look at that. And there's like slithering around biting him. He's like, oh, yeah, look at that. He's like, don't worry, they're not venomous.
Oh, so he was on Dr. Oz's patio when this happened. Okay. I was wondering where he was.
And I'm like, were those snakes there? Or did
you probably just they this? Were black racers. They were probably just there. Where does Dr. Oz live?
Yeah. If I had those on my porch, what I would do is I would get my sweep broom and I would just usher them off.
I feel like he put them there so he could have this.
I feel like he put them there. Yeah.
They're here to eat my brain worm. They're going to eat my brain worm.
I think this is staged.
Oh, it's not playing. Why isn't it playing?
Look, even somebody there is like, why? Even someone there is like, why are you doing this?
It's the lady from what show was that with Larry David? What was that show called?
They've been in the sun for a while.
Isn't he married to the lady from Curb? Isn't that the lady from Curb? He's like, hi, what are you doing?
Dr. Oz is married to the lady.
So what are they?
No, RFK is.
No, oh, get tagged. I'm going to get tagged again.
No, he keeps getting bit.
He's fucking holding them by the tails. What is he retarded? You're not supposed to hold them by the tails. I would
hold
never
them
touch
under the
snake
neck.
And I know,
can't bite
you're supposed
you,
to grab them by like the you grab them by the foot. No, you're supposed to grab them by like the back of their skulls, aren't you?
That's what. Yeah, right underneath their neck. Right. Yeah, with their neck, their whole body's like this, right underneath their head.
What he's doing is called tailing them. You can also neck them. You don't have to do with a racer though. They're so mean. I would probably neck one.
Well, I wouldn't fuck with it. What I would do is I would
bite hurt my neck.
What I would do, frankly, I'll be honest, what I would do, I would smash their skull with something and then clean up the carcass, or I would...
I don't understand that impulse. I do not understand it.
You want to decapitate them with a shovel. That's what
I was out walking.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would kill them with a shovel and then get rid of the carcass, or
so
if
weird.
I desired not to just be cruel to an animal for no reason, I would probably use a broom and just sweep them off the porch.
Like, I was out walking last night and we came across this dead garter snake, and come to find out, it had been killed in somebody's yard, and I'm like, why are you killing a garter snake? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's such a weird thing to
do. That's why. Get out of here, you fucking snake.
Snake.
Yeah.
I wouldn't kill it. Well, I've killed milk snakes.
Well,
the reason I killed a milk snake was because it was fucking with my fish.
Right, because they eat everything.
It was going into the pond, and it actually fucked up the fins of one of my fish. That fish is alive to this day. I still have that fish, and he's thriving in my garage pond. So one of the, it's actually he's a what do they call the gold? He's one of those koi goldfish. He's not a goldfish, but he's a koi. He's a koi imprinted goldfish. What do they call those again? I forget what they call those. Anyway,
koi cattle.
It's gold. It's a goldfish with koi print. Like I forget what they're called. Shabunkin. It's a shabunkin goldfish. But yeah, so the fucking milk snake kept going into the pond and swimming around, and it would attack my fish, so I killed it. And
we call it mowing the grass.
One time there was actually a snake in the shrubbery by the house, and Melissa asked me to kill it, and I was like, why don't we just not and just leave it alone?
Yeah, there's no reason to. I mean, now with the milk
and
snake,
she insisted that I do it because it was grossing her out. So I went and did it, and I was like,
I
all right.
I don't understand. Like, why is it gross? It's just a snake. It's like walking outside seeing a grasshopper.
Most people think it's gross. I don't like them, and I wouldn't want to, like, encounter it. But this one, to me, I was sort of like, why don't you just leave it alone or scare it away or something? And it will come back after it'll run away from you. It'll slither away. But, but I don't want a bunch of snakes on my property, but I really don't have. After I killed that milk snake, I didn't really see any other milk snakes around. There was one that had sort of figured out that there was this water source and sun. This place it could sun itself on the rocks and have water nearby. And oh, look, it can jump in the water and attack.
This is the video I was looking for, because there's another RFK video, and this one I thought.
Yeah, I saw the other one too with the rattles.
Okay, so this one, I think I left a comment on this one. I was like, dude, get a fucking snake hook. I know you can afford one.
Yeah, I believe I saw
rattlesnakes.
Look at what he uses.
First of all, I want to know where he got the Amazon 5-gallon bucket. Like, that's like the Homer bucket at Home Depot or the. I didn't know Amazon Like you get like Amazon.
Well, yeah, I got a bunch of Lowe's 5 gallon buckets. I got
this is an Amazon one. Yeah, so he's got a little.
He's
pink,
using like a.
He's got a little.
That's pink, a fishnet.
It's a fish, little that's pink a, fishnet.
And that's not, the tropical fish.
Yeah, not the, not the not the goth girl kind. It's not a cool fishnet. It's not like someone's sexy yeah legs. It's just like a little pink fucking net. He's picking up a. He's got a rattler.
That's
under,
literally
it,
for
it,
fish.
It reminds me of that South Park with the when they make fun of Steve Irwin. He's like, all right, he's really pissed off now. He's really mad. He's going to bite me any second. I'm going to stick my thumb in his butt.
Why does this guy keep having to see how he likes that? Like
oh, God. No, he just got bit. Did he get bit? He couldn't have got bit. He would be. He got,
no, you can survive rattlesnake venom depending.
I
like, you don't
swear,
want
like, of this all of like, the ways to deal with the rattlesnake,
what is this nigga doing?
It's the worst.
Why don't you just like, leave it alone?
He's really pissed off. This is like, what is that movie, Natural Born Killers? We need that snake juice. I need some snake juice.
Somehow, yeah, I mean,
it's also to get out of that bucket.
He did pull it
wait,
off.
What was the, what's the other logo on that bucket? I'm fascinated by this bucket. Oh, is that man Rawlings? Is that like a 5 gallon bucket of baseballs?
Is that,
order
is that
on
like,
Amazon?
Is that like Friendlies? Is that like Friendlies? No, yeah, it's an R.
Is,
I thought maybe.
It was no, it's not Rawlings. I thought maybe it's like a just big bucket of fucking baseballs. I guess not. I can't make out. Oh, it's amazing. He fumbled around with that and got the snake into
that
the bucket.
Look like a rattler.
It's a rattlesnake.
Yeah, it's set on the. Oh, now he's got.
What is that? Now he's just fucking with it.
What is that thing? That's not a snake hook. Now is that like a? Is that a selfie it stick? Is he just like poking it with a selfie stick now?
He's going to try to neck it, I guess. What the fuck?
But
are
like
doing,
that's not
man?
That's not the tool for necking a snake.
Why are you messing with this animal?
It's like he's really pissed off now.
See, he's gonna go for it.
Is
he's
he
gonna go
it
for it?
Is he killing it?
No, no, no. He's gonna
oh
neck it.
Oh, he's got a pin and he's gonna grab.
He
oh
did do it.
I'm gonna grab this venomous snake that I made really
okay,
mad.
But like, why are you fucking with this animal though? Like, this is what I don't understand.
Yeah, like, why weren't you satisfied with what it being in the basket? Like,
why don't you just leave it alone?
Oh, oh. What's he gonna say? Oh my god! I don't want to touch him.
No,
there, see,
classic.
There she is. There's the lady from Curb.
But that you is, had it.
That's the classic right there. The pillowcase to carry the snake in. I've done the same thing myself. It's such a classic.
But he had it in the bucket. Like, why did he transfer it from the bucket to the pillowcase?
Put the top on the bucket, and if you're worried about air, you punch this hole in it with a screwdriver. Like,
just, I kind of want to go hiking with them.
This is a beautiful snake.
A snake. That's why.
So why are you messing with it?
That's a western rings.
Well, this is the man that cut the head off a dead whale and strapped it to his family's minivan.
Yes,
and
made
home
his family like drive around
this
with
is,
whale fucking.
This is the man who cut the penis off of a roadkill
oh
raccoon.
No.
For I'm going to study it later.
RFK should just have his own nature show instead of doing whatever.
No, that would be highly entertaining.
He should be in jail. Just put him in prison forever
with snakes.
I mean, this is the legacy of that family. It's so sad. Like everything that was done to his father and his uncle. And now yeah he's just like this goy slave, and he's fucking doing like showing how not to catch snakes. Oh
my God. His uncle had it coming. His dad, you know, so his dad had it coming. His uncle maybe not so much. But yeah.
Oh, that's the part she's.
He's also
at
doing this. Let's also be honest. He's doing this to fuck with his wife. He thinks it's funny.
Wait. So now you have to pull it out of a bucket and a pillowcase. So you have to get even closer to it. And he set it free.
This
in
what's
the
so
wilderness
stupid.
Like, you know what's funny?
I feel like there's better ways to have done all this. Once he had it in the bucket, it was the job done. Why?
Here's the funny thing. You know what the professionals use?
What?
They put the snake in a bucket.
Snake bucket.
And they put a lid. They have a special lid that goes on the bucket.
Well, all that needs is all you need is a lid.
I don't think any lid would work.
Air in any lid. The lid for that bucket would work.
You burlap in a big rubber band.
Just
tie it on.
Pop a hole in it with the fucking. With a screwdriver, it's not like you can't get another
and
fucking bucket.
As you notice there, it's much safer to just empty them out of the bucket instead of having them in the pillowcase.
Yeah, now you got to empty them out of the pillowcase.
They can bite
too
through that pillowcase.
We got a guy sitting in his luxury SUV with a cowboy hat on. He has a message for RFK. What is this going to be?
Oh, boy.
Stepped on a snake. Stepped on a snake. You know, I grew up in the woods. I was walking in the woods a little while ago, stepped on a snake. I like being Southern, like living in the woods. And I like all things that come with being Southern. I like bonfires. I like hunting and fishing. I like listening to a dude man named.
You need to practice your accent. It's not. I feel like I could do it better. I like being Southern.
Peter, tell me about how he fought a raccoon one time with a socket wrench. I like being Southern, right? And you guys, y'all act like fear is illegal. Like, why are you worried about a snake? Look, I've seen you Southern boys free climb.
All right, never mind. I can't take listening to Americans.
I can't take listening to somebody like up their own ass with their fake regional.
I know what I'm talking about. I like being Southern, and he just goes off to list a bunch of like low class things. It's like, oh, that's is that what
a bunch of dumb. Yeah, I fought a raccoon with a soccer ball.
I like being a dumb honky. Like, why just say that? Like, this, you know, anti-white. I'm not anti-white. He is. Whatever.
I mean, I don't like. We have friends talking about like eating possum and shit. Remember our buddy that used to talk about like. I remember like someone talked about like a possum got in their house and they had to like chase it out, get rid of it. He's like, "What? Why did you eat it?" And they're like, "Well, because I don't live in a trailer park in Louisiana. That's why I didn't eat it." Assuming that's even something that they really do.
I should just be a pet.
But I'm also like, I don't believe that a lot of these low class, like less wealthy, like lower class whites. I don't think they have this relationship with the nature these people pretend. I think what they do is they go to like Walmart and buy a lot of snacks and sit in front of the TV all the time.
That's what they do. That is what they actually do. I hate this shit. It makes me so mad. I'm from the South, and like you don't even go outside. Like fuck off.
Yeah,
you can't identify half the animals that you see when you're outside. You don't even know what a poplar tree looks like. Like, shut the fuck up.
This is a good meme. Liberals when RFK Jr. says they should eat healthy and take care of their bodies, and it's just some lady like, it's like that's not what this post was about. It's like you just watched like your health secretary like fumble around with a poisonous snake and
do it. I would have loved it if he just got bit. Now a rattlesnake size. Although, again, size doesn't necessarily indicate how potent the venom is. There are smaller snakes with very potent venom. Rattlesnake venom is survivable, in my understanding. You don't necessarily die. Depends on the type, I guess. But he probably would have been able to survive.
He absolutely would have survived. Rattlesnakes barely kill anybody in the United States. That's the other thing I find really funny. It's like, oh, these snakes are so dangerous. Like, snakes kill, like, 5 people a year in the U.S.
Well, the most venomous snakes are, like, what are the worst ones? Like, vipers?
Liberals.
There's certain snakes that are...
Democrats.
I don't know, but I know rattlesnake venom is...
What I do know is that an American snake that's a certain percentage of those, it's literally people that have, like, king cobras and shit.
Yeah, I think that... Well, yeah, that, but I think most snake deaths are strangulation and not venom, right? If I'm not wrong about that?
I don't know about Aaron.
No, well, I think they're speaking tongues and handling them. Isn't that most snake deaths? It's like weird evangelicals?
Those people don't get killed. By the biting.
But there is a statistic that's really interesting, which is like it mostly affects younger males, and the bites are usually to the face and the neck region.
Because they're fucking with the snake.
Because they're fucking with it. The lesson is, and the other component is alcohol. So if you're not drunk and 25 years old and fucking with a timber rattler, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah, that's what's... Well, the timber rattler is not one. That's a little more venomous, right?
I've handled timber rattlers. They're pretty docile.
I've seen you do that, and I don't approve of that either. I don't approve of your behavior with snakes either, Alex, just so you know. Like, I'm also... I just don't think you should be fucking with them.
Well, I gotta get them out of the road, or they'll get run over.
Fair. That's fair.
They'll get run over by these assholes that go to Walmart and they're terrified of snakes. Like,
yeah, they're on their way to
There's a rat snake. I better run them over. Like, what are you doing?
These fucking Southerners who are going on their way to the big box store to get a bunch of snacks to go back and watch TV all day. Like, yeah, they're going to just kill the wild bugs.
I fucking hate it so much because I'll be on this one. There's a local road near me. There's hardly any traffic, just a little bit of local traffic. And the amount of dead animals I see from these boomers driving back and forth to the Walmart, because that's where they're going. It's like, I got to get my Cheetos, so I'm going to run over about 15 wild animals on my way to the Cheeto place. I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't live here.
The only ones I don't have sympathy for deer. Like, deer commit suicide.
I hate deer.
Because the most person that takes the most care of animals and particularly like wants to interact with them and like enjoys them, with the exception of snakes, is Melissa. She killed a deer. The deer killed itself. The deer fucking killed itself.
I would import so many coyotes and wolves to deal with deer.
The deer literally leaped out. The car was going. It's like, here's my thing. Apparently the deer, though, that when they do this, they've already had their fawns. So like we're not getting any genetic... We're not getting any natural selection out of this, right? Once the deer has had fawns, well, you pass on the retard jump in front of traffic genes. So, like, there's no natural selection doesn't seem to come into play. It doesn't hurt their survivability to run into fucking traffic. They never learned the fucking lesson. So, like, also, because we've eliminated their natural predators, And the natural selection hasn't caught up with the fact that now cars are your natural predators.
And then the other thing is you got the squirrels, and the squirrels are trying to do the defensive thing to stop themselves from like getting eaten by a hawk. And it's like, well, that's not a hawk that's coming after you. That's a car. You
just they stop in the middle of the road.
Yeah, and they change panic. Direction real quick to try to mess up the because they're used to having something like a hawk come after them.
Yeah, so no, the like, car you should just keep going.
Just get off the road. Just get off the road.
We were driving. There was like a muskrat in the middle of the road the other day. That was a little weird. And it was like running straight because, again, it just the way the terrain was, it needs before it could get off the road, it needs to.
People don't realize how much cool shit lives around them. Like, we got mink around here. We got so much wild stuff.
You're enjoying what you're hearing. Please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. therightstuff.biz/paywall.
None of these Wall Martians even know about it. They wouldn't know what a mink was. They'd look at it and be like, is that a beaver?
Well, her new thing now is she has this app that will identify the bird sounds around you. And you want to get as many as you can. So the idea is you want to walk more with your phone listening to the sounds of nature around you, and then like see how many different and new
birds.
I've
thought about getting something like that because I'm not too good with my birds. I don't know birds very well.
Well, for me, I just, you know, it was funny. When we walked around with it, I was for the first time actually listening to what is normally just background noise. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can hear a bunch of different distinct bird calls. I have no idea what they are. And I don't particularly care, but I just, yeah. But, you know, we have all these funny little birds. Like, I call them puff tits. Like, these little ones, because there's, like, the tufted titmouse. And I just call them puff tits, all the little fluffy ones. You got these tiny, they're tiny, like this big. They're all over the place. And just, like, these little puff tits, just puffing around. Tiny little things. Anyway.
Anyway, what I was thinking would be kind of cool. Shit, is he dead? I was hoping that Fred Boyce.
RFK, hopefully.
No. I was hoping that Locke Boyce's brother, Fred Boyce, was still alive so that him and RFK
Boycely. Boycely.
Boycely.
Boycely. What is that?
Boycely.
I don't know if Alex even knows what we're talking about, but like. What is that guy that says that?
No, it's Steve Harris, from the bass player from Iron Maiden. He can't say basically. He says boycely.
Boycely.
It's spelled Boisitly. Boycely.
Yeah, because he's like a low class Brit. Yeah. Yeah. So it's boycely. So he did this thing boycely. He tried to capture that alligator boycely.
Boycely. Yeah. That was the famous
Fred Boyce episode, was when he tried to catch the alligator. So yeah, you could have like Bobby and Freddy could be the nature show. They just go catch wildlife and occasionally get bitten.
I'll be honest with you. Locke Boyce, remember when we found those nature videos of Locke Boyce? He was handling the snakes much better than RFK. Sure. He actually seemed again, I don't approve of messing with animals. I don't think you should mess with animals just for your own enjoyment, particularly ones that clearly don't want to be messed with. And Locke Boyce was doing the thing. If he was taking out a snake and he was messing with it, but he was handling it in what seemed like a much more proper way than what RFK was doing.
Yeah, in a different world, like me and Locke Boyce would have been hunting snakes together. If only politics, not
Locke Boyce, actually seemed to know what he was doing. To be honest with you, with the snakes, unlike RFK,
they're actually not hard if you know what you're doing. It just takes a little practice and understanding.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I would also say this. Most people, the best thing to do is just leave them alone.
Most people should just not be outside because they're not cut out for it.
Well, you can go outside. Look, no, see, because here's the thing. I've never in my life had a rattlesnake encounter. I've gone outside many times. And generally when I see snakes, my instinct is I'm just going to leave that be. It probably won't mess with me, and I won't mess with it. And I'll just kind of like let it.
There's not a snake on this continent that will chase you. Not a single one.
Right. So I will just kind of stand still and like watch it slither away. And that's
now, I don't know about Africa. I'm not sure about Africa. Maybe you go to Africa and maybe the boomslings and shit and the mambas, maybe they just chase.
They might go for you. Yeah, after. But that's,
I don't know. That's Africa.
That's not my problem.
I know that here in North America, literally no snake species will ever chase you.
Or will even fuck with you.
It doesn't make sense, right? Like what is he going to do? Like if he catches you, he can't eat you.
He can't eat you. Basically,
they're not territorial.
Moistly. He's just bred to try and they want you to be. I mean, you're supposed to be scared of them. That is evolutionary. And you're supposed to want them gone and not. And yeah, but yes. So I think there's something kind of wrong in the brain. There's something missing in the brains of people that enjoy the company of snakes. And that includes you, Alex. Because humans.
It's not so much that I necessarily enjoy them. I'm just kind of not scared of them.
You know what? That is strange because 85% of people are scared of them. So that is it. And again, I guess it's not enough of a difference for it not to matter. But I have that same feeling towards spiders. Spiders do not scare me in the least. And I see people like yelp and scream at spiders, but they don't bother me. Snakes, I will. I'm just like profoundly disturbed by their presence. Like I want them gone. I don't like them. Something about them.
I can remember being,
and this is like a down here thing, right? This is like in the base of my skull. It's like, ugh, get that thing away. But I see spiders and that doesn't happen to me. And I know that it's the same thing with spiders. Like a lot of people also have the same reaction. And the reason is because these are creatures that can bite you and poison you. So it's an evolutionary response. It's a genetic response. Yeah.
I was remembering back to being a kid, and the water snakes would come out at night around dusk, and this would like it would trigger something visceral, like oh god, what is that? But eventually, I don't know, that kind of went away.
When you see a water snake, this creepy thing is because you don't know where it is,
and the thing is like swimming through the water.
Yeah, that's always creepy.
It's
that's
kind of wild, especially at dusk.
Dude, what was this thing I was seeing where there was like somebody was like. Alligators are scary until you look at them from underneath. I'm like, no, they're still scary. They just look doofy. They just look goofy paddling along, but they'll still fucking eat you. Oh, even they won't necessarily attack you, although there are alligator attacks. That does happen, but yeah.
One of the scariest experiences I actually had, I was down at the river one night, again at dusk, and a fucking beaver popped out of the water like 5 feet away from me, and I was like, oh my god, what is that? Big, massive brown beaver. My nona's big brown beaver popped out of the water, and I was
sometimes, yeah, when you got like a big old beaver right in your face, that can be that's a little bit intense.
Yeah, it's like, wow, what am I gonna do with this?
I had no idea that was gonna come at me. Yeah. Suddenly it's just there. It's like oh my god.
I think we've lost Sven completely. It's like, what are they even doing on this show?
Maybe the dryer is creaking.
No, I just muted himself. I gave up. I tried to Many minutes ago, I tried to steer this conversation towards RFK. And
oh well, what do you got on RFK? Is there more we want to make fun of?
Well, I closed the meme. They were talking about like what RFK claims to stand for versus reality.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know?
RFK a figure in politics? Like
because of his family. That's easy. His family.
Well, he has his reputation regarding like health and fitness and stuff. He doesn't deserve it. Like. He's an old man.
You know what's funny?
He's an old man that takes steroids.
That's a new thing, though. That's a new thing since, like, I feel like the reputation about that is new since COVID. He did have a reputation before that as being, like, a hippie, crunchy, earthy guy who wanted to save nature. Like, I don't remember when he was doing, like, River Keepers and that kind of shit that he was known for being, like, healthy. Not that he was known for being, like, unhealthy, but that wasn't. His guru status wasn't like that of health advice or
they should rename RFK Jr. the Twinkie Wrangler, Lamau. Maha, it's like he's done none of the things that he's like advertised doing. He hasn't done any studies on vaccines and autism. He's just basically said that like, well, there's no proof that it's not the cause of autism. He just hasn't.
Well, because every he hasn't study delivered. On vaccines and autism.
It's just funny how these people vibe and have they've built an identity around it. And once again, it's like, you just say like he represents this thing, but he actually doesn't. He's in a position of power. All he's done is fire people, and all he's done the his legacy is going to be like more dangerous chemicals.
Yeah.
Are going to be in the American food supply with less liability for the corporate entities that put the chemicals there. Right, Roundup is going to be sprayed on everything, and you're not going to be allowed to sue them if you do happen to get the turbo cancer. That actually can be caused by glyphosate or whatever it's called, rather than like the fake turbo cancer doesn't exist. It's caused by vaccines and stuff. It's like
the real problem with somebody in that position having kook beliefs is that the kook beliefs aren't real. So when you try to like the vaccines and autism, if he did sponsor a new health department study on that, I'll tell you what would happen. If it was being done correctly, it would come back and find, again, out of number of like hundreds of like thousands, maybe studies at this point, that find no connection between these things. It would find that again. And that's not what he wants. So that's why he's not going to do a study.
And also, it's like Libtards.
We already have the data on that are well in. That's the other problem. It's like we have the data. It's not like there's no data. It's just data you don't like because you have
Why did RFK Jr. like chime in on the eating like terrible poverty processed food lunches last week? Like that's what being a good American means. Why hasn't he like chimed in on like maybe Zoomers shouldn't eat Aldi turkey and all these and all this other junk? Like where was he on that? And where are you on that? Like all last week, I watched conservative voices, people who are fans of RFK, fans of Trump administration, tell people to eat disgusting, overprocessed, high sodium, probably calorically dense, like high carb meals. Is that Maha? Like, where were you that? Oh, now there's a picture of him, or there's a video of him, like, fumbling around with snakes. And now you're, like, rallying to him, like, liberals when RFK Jr. says they should eat healthy and take care of their bodies. Like, where were you last week?
Nowhere.
So, it's just funny how these people just, like, they have these, it's not even identity for themselves. The identity for RFK, that, like, he represents these principles, and he doesn't in any way, shape, or form. Other than don't take Tylenol, like his big crusade was against taking Tylenol when you're pregnant, which you can take under your doctor's supervision. So,
I didn't know a whole lot about RFK, so I was just kind of like looking at the Wikipedia to gather a little basic information. And apparently, whenever he was younger, members of his own family described him as a ringleader of a pack of spoiled rich kids who called themselves Hyannis Port Terrors, engaging in vandalism, theft, and drug use. His first cousin, Carolyn Kennedy, later blamed Kennedy for leading other members of their family down the path of drug addiction, calling him a predator.
Yeah.
Harvard, Kennedy continued to use heroin and cocaine, often his brother David, earning a reputation as being described as a Pied Piper and drug dealer.
None of that surprised me. None of that surprised me. How do you get the brain
worm? Oh, he was charged with heroin possession.
There you go.
Yeah, how do you get the brain worm again? What did he do? What did he do for that? What caused that?
So he was a druggy boomer.
Yeah.
And
when did the fucked up voice shit start and why? It's not Parkinson. It's like,
oh, here he is. Here's Secretary Kennedy. It's National Burger Day. The war on protein is over. And real American beef is back on the menu. Yeah, for $6.99, $7.99, $8.99 a pound. And where's the Aldi turkey?
But where's the people lecturing him that this is a luxury that you shouldn't engage in?
Yeah, basically, if you eat like that, you'll never be able to afford a house.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ryan O'Leary.
When I was growing up, we never ate burgers. That was a luxury. That was a special occasion. The only time we ever had a burger in the old days was you'd have one on Memorial Day. And you'd have one on 4th of July, and maybe one on Labor Day if you were lucky.
The only time we ever went out to eat was like a super special occasion and was like really weird. Yeah, he should be considered total privilege.
What is this contraption that's all hot and has the meat all over? I've never seen. Oh, this is a, what did you call this establishment? A restaurant? We never had those when I was growing up.
Yeah, we never even heard of that. That was such a strange, luxurious thing.
Like, this is a commercial kitchen. Nonsense. What is that for?
Such fucking nonsense. How
do you stay in business with zero customers?
For fucking, was that guy Kevin O'Leary? Is that guy's name?
Oh, yeah, that guy sucks.
That guy amongst all these other people, here's my question for you. Because that guy's fucking rich as fuck, and he did it by being pals with like Wall Street Jews and shit. Here's my question. So did you get rich by not having lunch? Is that the origin of your wealth? Or is it that you got lucky on some fucking scam, or you got in on the ground on some scam or something, and now you're just reaping the benefits of that for the rest of your life? Some people actually do know a bit about it. I'd never even heard of Kevin O'Leary until recently. But like some people did look into him and they found like, that his actual money was just made from some fucking underhanded scam. And like it had nothing to do with when he was younger, you know, not eating food or anything like that. So it's so stupid. It's just fucking lies. Like, okay, so that's seriously my question. Like you say this. But then, like, well, how did you make your money? Like, that's not how you did it. Oh, imagine that. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I can't find it. Yeah, I know I saw something on that, but I don't remember what it was.
I mean, find me the guy who's rich today because he didn't have lunch. You know what I mean? Seriously, I'm curious, who is this guy? So yeah, it's just
there's other funny interview of him going around where he's talking about how Apple's like Steve Jobs is a genius because he convinced people to pay so much for. He says for laptops, he's like he thinks that an $1,800 MacBook does the same as a $350 Windows laptop. Like that is
that
just not.
That's not true.
But even though like he's misinformed there, but he chalks that up to like marketing and building a brand. Like you're in favor of this. Like that should be. That's right. You shouldn't be allowed to do that in the economy. You shouldn't be able to have brand prestige like that in the economy. Like I would, in a national socialist economy, I don't know. I would have something.
There shouldn't be more than one kind of computer. There should be one operating system. Everybody uses it that way, and everything. And there's standards that are like legally enforced so that everything works with everything else. You don't get to have your own bespoke connectors. You don't get to have your own. Like the standards won't just be. The standards won't be self-imposed by industry because that ends up being better, which those processes do eventually happen. But like. Frankly, this already happens. Like, I'm pretty sure that the way electricity works, like, that is all code. Like, you have to build, and I think certain things may vary state to state, but the way the electrical plugs work and the basic, how things are basically wired, that shit is all code, and everybody has to adhere to that. There's no company can come out with, well, this is how our plug is, so if you want to use our device, you have to get our receptacle that plugs in with this shape plug and shit like that. None of that exists, right? So why is computers and computer accessories different? That should all be to code, to spec, and that should be centrally managed. Like you should not be able to have a thing like what Apple does, where we now have our own unique connectors. And if we have the connectors, they even had to give up on the Thunderbolt. Because remember, Thunderbolt used to have a different shape that was unique to Apple. But now they use USB-C, but it's still Thunderbolt over USB-C. I'm like, no, that shouldn't be allowed. Or Thunderbolt is just everybody does Thunderbolt now because that's just that's just the new that's just the high speed the same thing, but it's still bullshit. Like no, everything has to be spec standard and everybody uses it.
My innovations. Okay, well, I'm
a guy. You can innovate, but the innovation is new and it's just for everyone.
My thing is like this insistence that you need to like have this environment where people are constantly innovating, like different plugs is actually presenting a tremendous opportunity cost.
Right. Technology getting better. Right. But it doesn't need to get better in the same like. In fact, I would actually argue that capitalism is doesn't help with that process. I think that is. Because as we know, the funniest thing ever was when I got into a fight, an argument with a libertarian who, in order to try and win the argument, held up his phone and was saying like, this is like, look at this thing I have in my pocket and it was only like $500 and look at like capitalism brought me this, all of this. And I was like, capitalism brought you none of that. First microprocessor was invented by the Defense Department. The internet was invented by DARPA. Like capitalism,
capitalism made that like really expensive and then brought you like the endless stream of absolute garbage monetized slop that's viewable on that thing. Like that's what it is. I mean, you want to talk about what capitalism put Chud the Builder in jail.
Right.
Okay. Jewish capitalism developed the financial precarity that lost that guy his job because he said things that people didn't. They said things about race people don't like, and got doxxed. And capitalism put the market pressure on firms to not have a guy like that work for him or work for them. So he turned to another thing that capitalism has provided: obnoxious IRL streaming, which led to a physical confrontation with a nigger that is probably in self defense. Right. I'm not sure that. And now he's in jail. Sure. Capitalism did all that. These are things that capitalism does because it works in. It doesn't work in. Is not trying to just control people's behavior and keep the bad things out. It just creates incentives and then it has nothing to say about it. Like the incentive is there. These incentives are the market deciding, even when the incentives are bad and are hazardous, immoral, and put people in positions like that. Like no one ever like when you're if you're a capitalist fanboy, you can't argue with the incentive structure that's there. You have to say, well, that's what happened. So okay. So you agree with someone like Chud the Builder taking the turn that he took in his life and being in jail now because capitalist incentives is what led him to do the things he did that led him into that situation. Yeah.
But even before that, though, my argument was sort of more just like, you think that capitalism invented that device, and it just objectively did not. Like, all the components of that device and everything that makes it what it is are inventions of socialist programs, like the military industrial complex, DARPA, CERN, like those things, like the HTML protocol, transmission control protocol. These things were developed by governments. These things were developed by people at government labs. The microprocessor, the first microprocessor was invented for the F-14 Tomcat. Like, all of this shit, like, it, even the microprocessors that came after that were invented at universities with government funding. Like, none of that was invented by capitalist firms. None of it. So you using that little computer in your pocket that tracks everything that you do and sends it to Peter Thiel and Alex Karp, that's what capitalism did.
The government programs and the university programs, the publicly funded programs that bring you those inventions, to be turned into something like dystopian, horrific, and immoral, you need capitalism. That's the point I was trying to make. It's like all the things that it does that it's bad, all the negative externalities, those are all provided by capitalist incentives. And that's what you have to wrap your mind around. Like, no, the thing itself is just a thing that was made by public, usually by public money. Because that's what's so funny about, like, listening to Professor Dave and when he, like, makes fun of these sort of, like, anti-science bro people.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. For your subscription today.
People, it's like they don't understand, like, okay, so, like, I guess the Trump administration cut a bunch of research funding grants and whatnot. Yeah. It's like, because it's wasteful. It's like, what's wasteful? Because you give a grant for research, and the research is, it doesn't work out. A thing is, or a hypothesis is found to be, like, wrong. So that research, that research isn't a failure. It's like you realize that this door is closed now. And you had to spend money to do the research, but then something does work out that's a breakthrough, and that's all the funding. You have to fund studies that fail, so that you also by accident fund the study that works, that creates the innovation or whatever it is you're looking for, right? You have to fund it all.
The irony:
you can't just be like, all right, we're not going to, like, you don't know what studies to fund before you make the studies because you don't know if they're going to be successful or not. It's just really funny stuff. So that's all that.
The irony that CERN. Was invented to have a super collider where you're going to smash particles into each other and try and
figure
out, like elements of, like, where the Higgs boson and all that kind of shit, right? But the most actual impactful thing that it did was, like, the sort of invention of the hypertext came out of that, which was, like, literally, like, an afterthought that Tim Berners-Lee did to, like, share papers amongst academics. It was, like, an afterthought, and that has ended up becoming the most impactful thing that came out of that. I think transmission TCP already existed and such like that. So he wasn't just HTML and, like, the idea of hypertext itself. But yeah, like, that is that was the most world changing thing that came out of CERN, more than just smashing atoms into each other. Like, sure, we discovered the Higgs boson. That's good to know, but it's like you could make an argument, like, what is that? How does that matter? Now, I'm not against knowing things just to know them. I am actually very much in favor of knowing things just to know them. Like, it's very good to understand, like, how it is that, what is the Higgs boson do? It, like, adds mass or something like that? Or it's the, I don't remember exactly all that stuff. It's like how all that subatomic shit gets wild. And I'm also quite sure that the way that stuff is dubbed down to explain to me is just also probably a million problems with it, that someone that actually knows would be like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, we say that because it's just too complicated to explain to you. So we have to use a lot of other ways to discuss it. Like, something is, there's no such thing as really even, like, a particle. Like, it's not really the way you think of it. It is not right. And, like, I don't know. So whatever. I just accept the fact that the way those things are explained to me is not actually a thing is going on. Some of my favorite Professor Dave content is the quantum mysticism shit, where he's like, the worst thing that ever happened was these people got their hands on, like, double slit experiments, because it's like, and they don't even understand it right. And, like, I will confess, I don't fully understand it correctly either, but, like, the idea that, like, oh, look at that. It turns out that, like, the quantum level, things aren't just true or false. Things can be somewhere in the middle. That means I can make up anything. And, like, this is what they all do. And they all literally, it's so funny. The scripts are all the same. They all start and they do mention, like, the double slit experiment. And they do mention, like, the fact that the particles in different places at the same time or whatever. And it's just like, I guarantee you people do not understand what you're talking about. I guarantee you haven't.
Usually the outcome of the double slit experiment is you ruin your relationship.
Yes, obviously there's that. Or you can ruin all political parties sometimes. But, like,
okay.
I'm like, I'm joking. That's a joke. That's bants. That's funny. But you could, a lot of things happen with, you know, like some guys are like, well, I'm going to just do the double slit experiment because who knows how it's going to turn out. Like, you don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to jump in there. You don't know what's at the end of that tunnel. Like, it could go either way. But yeah. Anyway.
Mm.
That's also the thing. It's like when you call it the double slit experiment, like, the, you know, I guess on my Jew pride brain, just I can't help but immediately make a dirty joke.
Sure. Why not? That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
We acknowledge that tendency.
But I'm not the only one, though. Like, no, that's like everyone does it.
Everyone thought it.
Yeah, everyone thought it right away. Right. Like, immediately. Professor Dave thought it, too. I don't even know if everybody made the joke, but whatever. Anyway. Whatever.
Is that like the refraction experiment and it creates?
No, it's like a quantum thing where like when you, the quantum particle, like it goes one way and then if you look at it, it can go both ways, or it goes the other way, or
it's
it
like
goes
the scarecrow.
Go both, but again, I guarantee you that the way we understand it is just
a Wizard of Oz reference, folks.
Yes,
you want to call us? That's not even that. You can't even call that irrelevant or out of touch or boomer. What year was that movie made? I just made a Wizard of Oz. Some particles like to go both ways.
It's old enough that my mom was watching it in black and white when she was a little girl. So,
well, it's only black and white at the beginning and the very end.
The whole thing.
That was colorized. You're right. That was Technicolor, which is amazing.
That's how old that movie is.
Yeah, you're right.
The double slit experiment is a foundational physics demonstration that reveals light and matter can act as both particles and waves. When particles like photons or electrons are fired through two slits at a screen, they form an interference pattern of stripes instead of two simple lines. If you measure which slit they pass through, the wave pattern collapses into distinct particle clumps. So this means that reality isn't real. This means I can make up things. This means I have mental powers.
My two slits get clumpy.
This means I can heal my body with meditation. This means I can make a lot of money with a stupid grift taking advantage of dumb people.
Doesn't this mean there's also like alternate universes where I did the other thing instead and there's infinite outcomes? Isn't that also tied to this?
Probably not.
No, I thought that's where that stuff came from.
Probably not. Well, that's in Fantastic Four, yeah. In comic books, yeah, that's why, you know, multiverses and shit. Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, I've always thought, like, for me, I think that my problem with all that was sort of like, well, I guess, but you know, you're sort of. What that could all just be not true, though? Like, there could maybe just only be one universe, and certainly we can only ever experience one. So I don't know. I don't have a problem with people, doing like string theory and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't upset me or anything, but they might just be wrong, and it's whatever. Could just be, you know. But again, I don't actually know enough to comment on it, so I'm just going to sort of not comment on it because I don't know enough.
Seems wild and scary, and I don't know, so I'm just going to say it's bullshit. Because I'll never know better.
I don't think it's bullshit. I just don't know. And I don't think it's scary either. So it's whatever. Yeah. I do know one thing. One thing I do know. Here's something I do know. Quantum computing has not worked out. The idea being that quantum computing is no longer restricted to a binary, but I know that the double slit is sort of the idea of a super state where you can have instead of just two fundamental states, you can have three, and one
BTFO.
Of the third state is kind of like a mix of the two or something like that, and then this is sort of a foundational quantum computing, which means we don't have to have bitwise operators and particles. Like, there's three possible things and all this shit. And
it's the center for the stateless society's worst nightmare. A super state.
Yeah, the idea then is that you can geometrically increase the computation ability of any computer system. And theoretically then you could like crack any kind of encryption. The problem is,
I want a Palestinian state, not a super state.
It just doesn't work, right? Well, that's just never that. That's like the thing that doesn't ever manage.
That's the ultimate state, right? It's like, yeah, you know, you create, instead of having multiple, we just have one universe where there's no Jews anymore because there's just a Palestine. We've achieved the Palestinian state, right? Like that's the super state right there. It's like you look through the slits and you just see a big red triangle, and then all the Jews get blown up in the back of their.
I don't really
car or their,
yeah, I don't really even understand the double slit because they say when you observe. It changes. I'm like, well, how the fuck would you know that? How would you know that? Because how do you know what it's like when you don't observe if you didn't observe?
Like, what if you didn't eat breakfast that morning? How would you?
Yeah, this is my problem. This is that my brain just doesn't process. So whatever. Ask like, Sabine Hassenfelder. Actually, don't, because she's another one of that. Because I'm totally on Professor Dave's team, and
she's another one of those charlatans. Yeah. Wasn't her?
Why does he specifically hate her? I haven't really watched enough of her content.
I'm pretty sure that she. I'm pretty sure she just failed. I'm pretty sure that she just had some papers unpublished because they didn't because peer review didn't work out for her. So now she just says peer review is bad. I think that's what happened to her.
Well, she just does. She went from because she has a PhD in like this really complicated physics stuff, and she just attacks the establishment. And yeah, a bunch of charlatans because she engages in like low tier Joe like Rogan something style that
she
rhetoric.
Worked, yeah. Something she worked on didn't work out, and she's doing the conspiracy theory rather than just accepting, like, all right, my hypothesis was wrong.
Right. Kind of like Eric Weinstein, too. Yeah,
right.
Which, by the way, that video, that Too Lazy to Try with Eric Weinstein was very eyebrow raising.
Did you watch him talking about Alan Holdsworth and, like,
no.
Holy shit.
What do you say about that?
You just you have to watch. They have a discussion about guitarists. I guess he plays guitar, Eric Weinstein. And
another thing you can fail at.
Well, he tried to flex about knowing about Alan Holdsworth, and then like Rogan and Jamie were trying to get him to like name, and he couldn't name a song. He couldn't name anything.
Oh, I want to watch that one. I didn't get the chance to watch that one.
Right, and it's like if you listen to Holdsworth, you know it's.
I don't even know who that is.
It's experimental jazz fusion. Like he's a famous technical, but it's like who cares? It's the kind of innovation where it's like, all right, I guess so. But it's like,
what's that whole thing of like that soulless, very technically good guitar, yet lacking any kind of soul, right?
But it's like, you know, weird jazz stuff, and he's just doing the thing where he's trying to claim like intellectual superiority by saying he likes the stuff, he likes it better than say like an innovator like Eddie Van Halen or Jimi Hendrix, and so you know Joe Rogan just you know he likes Hendrix and he likes Van Halen, so he's like, David Lee Roth is quoted saying like he prevented Eddie Van Halen from becoming another Alan Holdsworth, just like a guitarist known. Like Alan Holdsworth, he's a guitar magazine guitarist. Like he was always in guitar magazines and talking about theory and blah blah blah. But it was just funny that Weinstein tried to take the credit for having this intellectually superior music taste, like he could appreciate what Alan Holdsworth does, and it's like he actually couldn't. Like he got caught. Like, that sounds like bullshit.
Well, Eddie Van Halen loved Alan Holdsworth, according to my AI response.
I'm sure he did. But yeah, he knew. But he
Eddie
knew
Van Halen.
He knew enough not to make that kind of music.
And so did as did Frank Zappa. Now Frank Zappa didn't quite know enough. Frank Zappa's like, I'm going to take this music and intersperse it with like dirty jokes and like really annoying crap.
Right.
I'm not going to say
that like Alan Holdsworth is bad or a fraud. I'm just saying like. That is not a thing for a lot of people to listen to and enjoy. And even if you understand it and appreciate it, it's still not an enjoyable experience listening to that kind of prog fusion jazz crap. It's like, really, like, all right, can you write me a song, sir?
But it was funny,
he was trying to signal about it and he got caught. That's what was great. Like, Weinstein, once again, fraud. Like, and no one asked you to do this, right? It was like in between talking about how Epstein has been there my entire life. Was he at the Alan Holdsworth show with you, too? Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
But like, okay, so I think though, now I don't actually have it's not because it's jazz fusion that it's a problem, because there is good jazz fusion that's listenable. It's just that it's, you might not like it, you don't have to like it, but that's not, in my opinion, the weakness here, right? the over technicality is, I think, when it gets to be, because there can be jazz rock fusion is just a style that is, can be good. It can be enjoyable. It can be for people to, like, people can enjoy it. Like, you, it's just not, you just don't like it. But that doesn't mean that, like, large groups of people can't like it. But with this kind of stuff that maybe, I don't know, I've never listened to Alan Holdsworth, so I'd have to listen and see. Maybe I'll really like it. I don't know. I mean, does it have any, is there, like, any groove to it at all? Or is it just, like, he's just, like, noodling?
I don't know.
I've never listened to it. I'm
not Eric Weinstein. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know about Alan Holdsworth when I don't.
Yeah.
That was the point of the video. It was like he was pretending he knew about Alan Holdsworth.
One of the things I never liked was there's a few guitarists who were always considered like technical that I never liked Pat Metheny or like Weather Report or any of that shit. I was like, shit is so boring. It was really boring. But like Fish arguably does like jazz rock fusion, and that shit is really fun to listen to. So it's not definitely that it's the genre. It's like the thing that they're doing. So we're now listening to Alan Holdsworth.
Now now we are the Joe Rogan podcast. Oh, I already want to die.
Yeah, this is already I want to kill myself. Like,
is this NPR?
This is gonna get so much worse. I know this style. This is exactly.
When does he start?
This is very much
today on All Things Considered.
This isn't jazz rock fusion. This is just jazz.
Is he gonna start doing the spider fingers yet, or is he just gonna do the stupid chords? Oh God.
So uninspired.
It's all technically correct, though.
Which anime is this from?
Oh god, the way that bass, those like bass. Oh god, I hate. This is exactly like Weather Report. This sounds just like Weather Report. This sounds just like fucking Pat Metheny.
Here we go.
Wow, that's a little bit more interesting, but like. No, it's still annoying, though. That's annoying. That's not...
Yeah, no, it's masturbation.
Okay, how is this just not just... It's just jazz and electric guitar, right?
Yep. Jazz fusion.
But that's all it is.
This is not good. Like I said, this is exactly... Fusion. This is exactly what I said. There's no groove to that.
I don't think it's fair to call it a fusion, though. That's just jazz plus an extra instrument.
Well, I think that's what fusion is. When you turn the gain up on the guitar and you shred a little distortion.
Yeah.
I did a fusion here. It's a blend. It's totally
straight,
new.
There's some straight jazz that's not bad, that's okay, that's not like that. That actually, you have to have, in my opinion, there's certain types of jazz that is like kills any kind of like groove. Like you can't get into it. Like it doesn't, it's emotionless. You know what I mean? And there's other kinds that does have some like feel to it, like a vibe. And you can't, it's actually not hard to tell the difference. I couldn't tell you what they do differently. It might have something to do with, I don't know, dude. Just like that shit doesn't do anything for me.
This is like if I had a Camaro and I put Corvette wheels on it and I'm like, it's a fusion. See, it's a fusion of the Corvette and the Camaro.
Well, this is like if I wanted to fucking fall asleep.
That would be like an El Camino. This is really sweet. Like an El Camino Super Sport. Like it's a really cool Monte Carlo, but it has a pickup bed. You can throw shit back there.
That's more of a fusion than what I just listened to.
Yes. fuck.
Sounds to me, that sounds just like Pat Metheny, who I fucking can't stand. And I think Pat Metheny was in Weather Report. I don't know, but like also Weather Report is a group that used to do music exactly like that. I've always hated it. I've never liked it. I can't take it. Like I used to have friends that would like try and listen to that shit, and I'd be like, "Bro, this shit is boring." Who's this?
Kill me now. Kill me now.
Oh my god, dude, that is so shitty. Oh my god.
I mean, the technique is.
Why would I want to listen to that?
Because you've gotten into your instrument and you know how to play it and you've learned enough about theory where that now that like rock music is boring. So you can't get any jollies playing stuff that has normal stuff to it that's catchy. So you end up
sounds like something you
So you become a musician's groove, musician. You become a guitar magazine guitarist and the only audience
where,
is like
where you do go, you even employ this music? Because the only
Guitar
place
Center
I've heard
you play these things in the Guitar Center and then
and
a couple
YouTube.
Of the salesmen be like, holy shit. Well, yeah, now there's YouTube. But it used to just be like someone would know. It's like when I used to work at Guitar Center and all the bass players like Jaco, and I'd be like Jaco Pastorius. I was like, why do you like this?
Yeah. Oh, I hate Jaco Pastorius. That's another one. He was. I think who is?
Like,
I hate that guy.
What if he just like joined a cool band? Like then what if Jaco and like, took a back seat? You know, I'd rather listen to Geddy Lee. Give me Rush.
Yeah,
at least
he was in. That's what I'm talking about. Weather Report.
Was Jaco in Weather Report?
In.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, it's the same. It's the same shit. No, I was wrong. Pat Metheny was not in Weather Report, but it's the same fucking shit.
So,
I was gonna say the only place I've heard this sort of like jazz fusion shit occasionally in Japanese animation, they will play that as part of the soundtrack. And it's as annoying there as it is here.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing?
These are the soundtracks.
Japanese people like this stuff.
So
many of the albums of this style of music is like Live from Tokyo.
That's why Marty Friedman moved there. He's like, now I can do cooler things than just heavy metal. I can go to, I can play 38 chords in the first 30 seconds of a song in Japan, and they appreciate it.
Oh god, Joe Zawinul, he's another one of these guys. This is just like, yeah. And Frank Zappa, like the funny thing is Frank Zappa, he mentions that, and his music was very different. Now he would have songs. I generally hate Frank Zappa, but there's a few songs that are okay. But like when his better songs was him, he would be jamming. Like I'm not against that, but it would like there would be like an actual beat to it, like a bass line, like in a groove, like something you could listen to, right? Something you could kind of be like, yeah, you could rock to. But like that shit, you can't rock out to it, man. That's the problem. It's just boring.
Nope.
There has to be some level of you're able to rock out to this, and it just isn't there with that shit.
Well, you'll never catch me pretending to know anything about him, because I think Weinstein couldn't even name one song. They're like asking for like, what's this? What should we look up? What's a? And like young Jamie pulls up like, what's the popular song? He's like, he doesn't really have one. Hi, hope you're enjoying the show. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail. So there's like nothing in his Spotify discography, I guess, that showed up as like having a, you know, all those bars of popularity. And Weinstein was just no help. It's like, you don't even know. It was really funny. But I don't know.
I cannot imagine a type of media that could benefit from employing this music in some form. Like, where would it be appropriate to have this?
Well, it is its own thing. It's just its own
thing. It's just its own thing that just exists out there. And
there's nothing wrong with that, like, inherently. It's just boring, and it's for people. It's for brainiacs. It's for nerds. It's, you know, like, it's just, it's for music nerds, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just not my thing. You know, it's not my thing.
Speaking of other things that are not our things, did you see what happened to Stephen Colbert?
You lost the show, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Well,
I saw liberals were crying.
Well, CBS canceled him. I assume this has like Trump posted an AI video of him throwing Stephen Colbert into a dumpster. Okay, because his show is being canceled.
That's helpful.
Because he took over the it was the late night show. He took over Letterman's old spot, and that show got canceled. And it's clearly been canceled by, you know, the Ellisons, the Paramount takeover, whatever.
They replaced him with a nigger.
I thought they just weren't doing that show anymore.
No, they replaced him with a nigger named Byron Allen.
Oh, I thought CBS was claiming they were just killing that format, that it wasn't making any money. No. But what they did though, so Colbert, being a funny man that he is, he went to a cable access, like public access network in Michigan, and so he did his show there as like a joke. And it says here, appearances by Jeff Daniels, Eminem, Steve Buscemi, and Jack White. Okay, so it says, just one day after ending the late show on CBS, Stephen Colbert returned to TV to host a public access show with rocker Jack White in Monroe, Michigan, and it's called Only in Monroe, and it's a nonprofit, whatever. And do you know? And so you know what happened? CBS was so butthurt. They did copyright claims on YouTube and any social media where the video was posted, and got it taken down.
What?
They were so ass mad because the man that Donald Trump demanded be taken off television by his new, like, you know, CBS network buddies.
So they're looking at Bloomberg Law News. Colbert Charlie Brown joke conjures untested copyright theory. Colbert's joke of having his band play Charlie Brown in a mock effort to saddle CBS with copyright liability might not actually create any, but it incidentally invokes an area of the law with nebulous boundaries.
Different. Okay, I don't know.
Well, this is all recent. This is like right now. They're saying that he basically tried to fuck them over by on the last show. That's actually kind of funny. I'll kind of give him credit for that. Like, he's getting fired, so his last show he has the band play copyrighted music. That's kind of funny. What? Were we talking about something?
Oh, so that's Lee Mendelsohn Film Productions that owns that?
Right, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt what you were doing. Did I ruin your narrative?
Well, no, I'm confused because like those shows, the bands play copyrighted music all the time. I don't know why that would be a problem.
I'm assuming they have rights to it though. Like there's probably a process by which they have like they have already gotten.
So they played a song they didn't clear. They
pre-vetted it, right? So apparently this time he had the band play music that they do not have any rights to in an effort to fuck over the network, and it didn't matter. It just because nobody took any action, or it just didn't matter.
No. This is he did a show after his contract was over. He's no longer an employee of CBS. He goes on a public access network and does a show there. And the video clip has been taken down. Like this would be a boon for what is it called? Only in Monroe.
Yeah.
The Monroe.
Is that like Monroe Media. County, New Jersey, or something?
No, it's in Minnesota. Was it say Minnesota or Michigan? Sorry. It's in Michigan. So, and CBS is like, they're doing copyright strikes on YouTube. And of course, YouTube, because the copyright strike system is just there for, it's just there to support corporate entities. So they don't fact check it. They don't review it. They just take down, it's like, oh, CBS Paramount says that this is their content. We're just going to take it down. And there's no investigation.
Well, again, you'll win the challenge on that, but then by the time you've done, the clip is outdated.
Yeah, they filed a dispute, and Paramount decided to release their copyright claim. So it's like you're still not even saying that this was fair, or this is not a copyright issue. You're just saying, oh, CBS Paramount decided to let up, and so you can have your video now. Yeah. It's pretty disgusting.
You're still fundamentally making a claim that you own Stephen Colbert.
How the fuck does that work?
Because no one,
well,
because
it works
there's
exactly
no, because,
how we've just described it.
Yeah, because there's no public. Because really, well, everyone needs to go to court, and there would have to, you would think there would have to be some kind of penalty, like, all right, Paramount, CBS, you abused the copyright. The DMCA.
They should be in trouble for claiming copyright on a person that they don't have any control over.
That's called abuse of process. Like, there's a legal term for it.
Yeah, there's nobody to, unless they take it upon themselves, punish them. And is YouTube going to stop doing that? No. That's just how that system is. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Okay, so apparently this is like, he did this like, right, like hours after he left, like this wasn't a few days.
Oh, it's just the next day. It was the next day.
Well, but at the next day, meaning like a few hours later, because the show runs at night. So, like within a few hours of him signing off, he was on this public access show as like a fuck you.
Yep.
So anyway, but why did he get fired? Was it like some Trump thing, or that's what people?
I believe
saying,
it was a Trump thing. I believe it was gave Ellison the call. And what's her face there from that took over CBS News? Not Bachi Angar, Sargon, the other one, Barry Weiss.
All right.
You know, it's like this, like CBS is this sort of crypto right wing, like Zionist network now. It's kind of wild.
It's really kind of wild how we've just totally decided that the media now is no longer evil and biased, and it's all fine now because it's run by right-wing Zionists, so it's good. It's kosher.
Who has decided this?
I don't see the discourse anymore about the media.
You're not in the places where it's happening, because that was the entire discourse of Stephen Colbert's appearance on Only in Monroe. He did a whole show specifically attacking that. Like he says... he said the TV personality 62 returned to the air Friday evening in Only in Monroe public access program in Monroe, Michigan, with an hour-long late-night parody episode featuring several guests and took shots at Paramount's monopolistic aspirations in media. Colbert, previously host of Only in Monroe, he actually had hosted the show before early in his career, I guess. It's been an excruciating 23 hours without being on TV, so I'm grateful to be here in the Monroe community before they get acquired by Paramount. They basically took shots at this corporate. Now they're not going to do the Jewish thing, that's for sure. But they did take shots at sort of the monopolistic.
Oh, I mean, that was referring more to. I don't really see right wingers talking about the liberal media and their.
Yes,
media
right. They're not that is dying out because the media isn't so obviously liberal anymore.
Yeah, now it's just kosher Zionism. So right, I guess it's automatically fine.
Right.
Because I mean, we got Barry.
No, the vibe shift
in charge. That's good, right?
The vibe shift has unended so many assumptions. But because also when you do hear them complain about the liberal media, like it rings so hollow because there is so much rightoid media now. You know what I mean?
When they report something closer to the truth about Iran's beating America in the war, then now they're the big. Now they're the brain dead
liberal
media.
Media.
Now they're the fake news again.
Or if they report about like rapes in fucking Palestine, like the Israeli army is just like raping people, and then now the liberal media is out of control, right? Mm.
Right, because we're not going to do any like kind of systemic critique and maybe ask questions about, well, is it good to have like the media monopolized in this fashion? Is there structural things? No. The problem is libtards. Libtards were in charge of the media. Now libtards are not in charge of the media, therefore good.
It's the left. Well,
Jews have always been in charge of the media. They've just stopped doing as much libtarded shit and are doing more like right-wing bullshit now. They're doing more right-wing shit because they've decided that's better for Israel in the short term, at the very least. I'm kind of interested. So, I guess, so the Ellisons, these Jews, right, the Ellison family, owns Paramount, that owns, I guess, a CBS. And so now...
They're no strangers to abusing copyright, and they're not hard to beat.
I think that was... Is that the same? Comedy Central?
That was Paramount, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we beat Paramount.
We already beat Paramount. Maybe they'll come back again.
We have beat Paramount. Well, I mean, go ahead and try. It didn't really... The thing is, what's funny about it, there was no real resolution to it. It just ended.
God damn it.
That shit just ended.
Well, like they're expecting like the Goyim will shit a brick and change their ways. Like, yeah, we're not going to change.
Yeah, it took two rounds of back and forth letters between... Yeah. Lawyers. I don't know if I guess I could talk about it. Between attorneys. We got an attorney our attorney was writing... Basically, they tried to take us down for ripping off the Daily Show. And the evidence that they used was the most hilarious thing about it was that the evidence that they were using was that searching the Daily Showa would return sometimes people talking about the
they
Daily
tried,
Show.
But they tried to make a brand. They tried to make a brand confusion argument, and their evidence showed that there was absolutely no brand confusion.
Yes. all their evidence. Now they showed what they showed was that searching for they never could show that searching for their Daily Show would return anything about us. But they could show that searching for the Daily Show would return discourse on how this was clearly a parody of the Daily Show, and like everybody commented on it clearly understood that, and there was no confusion whatsoever because there was nobody that was like, I searched the Daily Show and I got this anti-Semitic podcast and I thought that was the real Daily Show. So I kept watching it, right? Like, no, every single thing that they got, it was so funny because all they did was show like, okay, these two things are like mentioned at the same time. But the mentions were, and again, once that argument was made, like, I think that's what killed it, right? Because I remember having this discussion and then like, just, all right, yeah, that's not going to work out for you. Because it's just like I remember reading every single item on their Google search that they sent, and I was like, I'm actually going to do the same one and then read those articles. And I was like, yeah, every single one of them like makes the exact point. They didn't. They zero confusion, and so then they just dropped it. Funny.
Yes,
they just dropped it, and that was that. So come at me again, Paramount. Do it. I mean, maybe you might even beat me at some point, but it won't. I'm not going to make it easy.
No, I think Paramount owes us money.
I think they owe us money. Yeah, they do. They actually do.
They were just trying to silence us. It was clearly a slap. They just didn't like what we say, and they wanted us to not have access to free speech anymore on our own.
And we could like counter sue them for that, and then try and get money for attorney fees and everything. But I think that probably wouldn't work out because what happens is that the reason why that wouldn't work. This is very stupid. Is that it would be really difficult for us to prove that they were actually engaging in bad faith. And as long as they could present like any kind of plausible argument that they thought what they were doing was in good faith, then it's not frivolous. It's not malicious. It's so it's just like, shut up. Yeah. Anyway. I never, the funny thing about that is like, I was so not intimidated by that. I was like we never even talked about changing. We never even amongst ourselves even considered it. We always were like, well, this is never going to work for them. We're just going to keep going. And like, yeah, like this just like we never, it didn't even start working. We didn't even have any nerves about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember at all being nervous about it or worrying about it at all, or even considering changing the show or considering changing anything. I was like, nah, like, fuck that. Like, they can't do this. Like, this is bullshit. And as it turned out, eventually they just,
no, they just didn't like being, they just didn't like being like made fun of.
They just didn't like being made fun of.
If you look at like cases that have been adjudicated in the past about this kind of parody, I think there was one that was a little more prominent. I think it was Saturday Night Live used theme music from a news program or a news magazine program to do a parody of that. And that was the issue there. It's like, well, you're using somebody's like music composition without.
Yeah, that's different. That's a different issue. Yeah.
But like it was ruled like, well, it's also, that's fair use to use that composition because it's integral to the parody of the news magazine program that you're parodying. So you're allowed. So it's fair use. Like it was very funny. Like that even went, that even fell on to the side of the parody. Like the people doing the parody won. And you could argue, well, there's no, like, just play your own music. Like, you don't just get to take the songwriter's property, and the court's like, oh, yes, you do. You don't get to have the rights to. It was a very interesting and very interesting outcome there for fair use, which.
But yeah, so what's funny is, okay, so they didn't replace Colbert with another late night talk show. It's this guy, Byron Allen, who does a show called like Comics Unleashed.
Yeah, it's just a completely different show. It's stand-up comedians talk. Yeah.
But the thing, but it's not just that though. It is on purpose supposed to be politically inclusive.
Oh,
which to me means like rightoid bullshit.
Yeah.
So or like it's because it's not like it's apolitical. So they're saying it's like politically inclusive, and it's apparently like total slop. And this Byron Allen is a nigger. And so once again, right, we've purged the right wing Jews have purged a white man for a nigger, and they prefer the nigger. And then Byron Allen also has like some, he's also himself like personally, like he's acquiring BuzzFeed or something like this. I don't know exactly what it is, but like
what?
I saw some headlines suggesting that. Let me see. I've never heard of Byron Allen before. Let's see. Byron Allen is an American businessman, film and television producer and comedian. He's the founder of the American media company Allen Media Group.
Okay, so he did acquire it.
Yeah. Allen Media Group, formerly Entertainment Studios, which has interest in television production and broadcasting. CEO and partial owner of American internet media and news company BuzzFeed. So he's just a low tier member of the Ellison conglomerate. Like he's just like, you know, he's like there, he's like the low tier nigger involved in the Ellison thing. Yeah.
Oh, so Jonah Peretti is going to be taking on a role as some sort of AI czar of this BuzzFeed thing. BuzzFeed AI. If you, you know, BuzzFeed was
I can't
bad.
Imagine something like worse than that.
BuzzFeed like, AI. It's like,
we just like, I thought BuzzFeed like died years ago.
It's like, what level of dystopia are we on? BuzzFeed is back and now it's powered by an artificial intelligence. Clickbait designed by an AI. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, literally.
That's like, what we needed. Just what I asked for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd be surprised. So, anyway.
What the fuck? It's like the slopification of all media.
And what's funny is, so here he is. He's involved. He's like, dude, whatever. Honestly, like, it's just, yeah. Byron, it's just nigger slop. And of course, it's like, it's politically inclusive nigger slop. Like that's what the fucking Ellison family, these right wing supposedly Zionist billionaires, and like, you know, it's just everything about that. It's just like, yeah, and it's sort of annoying because there is discourse, as you said, like there is discourse about media monopoly and stuff like that, and then these problems, and it'll only be happening with liberals. Like right wingers are done bitching about the media. They don't care. They don't bitch anymore because the media caters to them now. Like, a dumb rightoid doesn't turn on the TV anymore and see shit he doesn't like. He doesn't care about it. He doesn't give a shit about trannies and faggots and niggers. Like, he likes that stuff. They like that. And then the main thing is, like, I don't want to be turning on my TV and see criticisms of Israel or Donald Trump. And that's definitely something I don't want to see. And well, you're going to see less and less of that. You really don't see much of that anymore, do you? So. Was there another point to the Colbert thing or no? Have we like, were
no,
you grabbing
I just,
something
I
else?
Just like the, I just like selective protection of intellectual property on behalf of YouTube for CBS.
I just like them being butthurt at Stephen Colbert that badly. Like, we're going to take time out of our busy schedules to go after this one guy.
Yeah, they're so mad about whatever he said about Trump in the past.
He was on a public access channel?
And they struck that video everywhere they could.
Who gives a shit?
Well, because because he was criticizing them and making fun of them, and it's funny. You think they don't have a thin? You think they have a thick skin?
Yeah, you
that,
think
they
just
don't.
Ignore that, right? Just be like, oh, okay, well, whatever. He's gonna.
Well,
be
they, like you made your money well, by they, hosting people doing shit like.
They
this,
think
right?
they're flexing and, their authority. Like, here's this guy that made us mad, and made fun of us. We don't have thick skin. I mean, we don't have thin skin. We just have the power to just like ruin his. It's like, well, you also just look stupid, but that doesn't bother you. Like to like right wingers, like looking stupid.
The problem is though. Then, like, but what happens from them looking stupid? You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the eternal problems with like the discourse about stuff. Is like, okay, so you look dumb, but that has not in any way affected your power and your money yet, that we know of, and we're not sure if it ever will. But you look dumb.
Cosmic arbiter of what isn't now and is not on. Just yeah. now will destroy you. Oh wait, he doesn't exist.
Yeah, the just world fallacy it just kicks in. But you know, anyway, I still think I like the fact that they look dumb. It's better than them not looking dumb.
I like pointing out they look dumb.
But again, I've
canceling Stephen Colbert's popular late night show because you're butt hurt at him politically after you've won. You've won the 2024 election, and basically your administration is doing everything it wants against the people's will. You're not deporting anybody. You're not doing anything about demographics. You're just doing war for Israel. There's really nothing to be complained about. But deporting him just to flex, like look what we did. Like we deported Stephen Colbert from television now, and you know by having your Jewish friends do it, and now their company makes a little bit less money, I guess, on their ad revenue during that time slot. Yeah. It does look dumb. I like making fun of it.
Apparently, Donald Trump, you know, I saw these things the other day. Like, Donald Trump's like least popular president in history right now.
He was, I mean, from what I saw, he was tied with Nixon during Nixon's Watergate shenanigans there for disapproval.
And the funny thing is, here's my thing, and I will eternally say this about Richard Nixon. It's not necessarily that I'm a Nixon fan.
Well, he got fucked.
But there was a Jewish op against him.
Yeah.
And that was an entirely engineered media.
It's confusing because what was Nixon doing that I would be in favor? Thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show. And if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to the rightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, 6-monthly or annual subscription. Using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening. In favor of? I don't know what that might be.
There might be a few things, but
well,
like,
I mean, there's been an orchestrated campaign against Donald Trump by Donald Trump.
Right. The thing is that there was now you could. The thing is, Donald Trump, when there was actually an orchestrated media campaign against him, he was more popular. Yeah. There is no longer an orchestrated media campaign against Donald Trump. In fact, there is an orchestrated media campaign for him.
When you look back,
and
it looks
he's
like
less popular than ever.
When you look back, it's like the orchestrated campaign against him. It looks like he was a part of it because he's not any different from the people that were doing that to him back then.
Well, all the people who are doing that to him are just in his administration.
Yeah. Like Lindsey fucking Graham. Like his top guy is Lindsey Graham, who was a
Ben
huge Never Trump. Yeah, Ben Shapiro. These were all huge Never Trumper conservatives. Mm-hmm. But now it's just like it's all copacetic. It's kind of crazy, kind of wild.
The main differentiating factor, because Laura Loomer arguably was always pro Trump and she's still pro Trump. The main differentiating factor here is Jewish. Like MAGA is just Jews now, and I don't know about Mark Levin. Was he ever Never Trump or not?
I don't remember. I think he was never. I think all these Jews were Never Trump.
But
at the beginning.
Certainly, Mark Levin was scared.
They were very scared of what he was subtweeting. You know, he was right. Absolutely the subtext was proto fascist. What he was doing in the first campaign, so it made sense.
And certainly, though, one thing is for sure that Mark Levin did not play a big role in. Mark Levin was dead. He was done. He was boomer, slop, nobody cared, nobody paid any attention. He has been brought back from the grave and made relevant in the last year by Trump and has become the biggest Trump stan. And I just don't remember him being relevant at all to this discourse. Michael Savage was more relevant because he was sort of he occupies kind of a similar spot to Mark Levin, but he's a little bit more...
He was more. He was more doctrinaire.
More like
conservative.
A abrasive. And, yeah.
He was a very. He was like a. He was like a right wing extremist. The way he talked. Like, he was a very extreme conservative. Like he like. Porn vanity and like and
porn
like,
vanity is like hilarious. Thought, I'm like, actually gonna say I'm never gonna fucking I'm always gonna use
oh
that
and the oh is porn vanity and Hush Bimbo like they were sellouts to him like he considered them to be he positioned himself as being
was Mark Levin a sellout to him or you know who knows,
I don't remember him ever mentioning Mark Levin he I mean he may have but it's like making fun of Hannity and Limbaugh were like go tos for him back in the day and then he got kicked, he had a show on MSNBC he got kicked off for like.
Yeah,
telling a fag that he hoped he gets AIDS and die. It was pretty. Oh, you're one of those sodomites. Oh yeah, I hope you get AIDS and die. Which was great.
I remember when he used to, when like the fucking Jews would call in and they'd be all worked up about Christians and you would tell them to shut up. Like, what are you doing? You're sitting on your dirty couch. You're still living in your mother's house, sitting on your dirty couch. Get your mother to come and clean the couch and shut up. What are you going to do about it? What do you know? What do you know about anything?
God.
But he was just really. He's like. He's also like, hey, you dumb fucking sheeny kikes. Will you stop alienating the Christians? We need these people.
You're right.
That was basically what he was doing.
He also he took like a lukewarm like anti-war position on over Iraq. He didn't like. I don't like this imperialism going on here.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny.
I wonder what his thing with Iran is. He used to then, I remember when he would do though, but then sometimes it would be so weird. You couldn't always tell because I remember when like Netanyahu would come to America and give a speech, he would do nothing but fucking like gush all over him and talk about, this is what a real leader sounds like. This is what a real politician sounds like. You know, not like these weak people in America, you know? And so you'd be praising it. But then sometimes he would also then criticize the idea of our government doing everything from Israel. Like you can find both of these things. So I don't know who the fuck knows. And I'm not that interested to look because he's still a fucking.
So looking at Savage's Twitter. He seems to just be asking questions.
White House renovations. Approve or disapprove?
Well, what's the other one?
I mean, Bitcoin crashing. Why?
these are posts of his. Oh, now he's
just doing engagement farming then.
Deport them all now before you get stabbed to death by. This death cult.
I'm assuming that's Allah Akbar. Something happened here. Three stabbed by a knife man shouting Allah Akbar at Switzerland train station.
Thank God I was born before art intel could make the dullest man think he was the brightest.
Talking about AI.
Okay, yeah, that's very typical.
Tomahawks, Patriots, Thad, and other munitions running low during Iran war because Ukraine sucked us dry under the Biden administration.
So I guess he's lamenting.
Yeah, he's still doing that. Yeah, so. That's all on brand. All this is on brand.
Well, yeah. So taking the position that the Ukraine war was detrimental to the Iran war and protection of Israel altogether, not knowing or acknowledging how that fed the Israeli plot was with Syria. Like the objective there was to
there is an argument there to be made, but it's not like the one he wants to make. Like yes, the problem you have is that America does not have the economic productive capacity in military industrial field to maintain this many high tech conflicts at once. Like we just can't. We tried to. It's not that arguably like Ukraine did leave us dry with a lot of things that we would have rather to have now for Iran and such. But like the lesson there isn't like. You know, they don't take the wrong lesson from that. Like, you know what I mean? There is that, but it's also like, yes, but the thing is at the time it was very important because of the Syria thing. And just generally also they do just generally want to break up Russia and not have a hegemonic competitor to the United States. All these things are important. But the lesson here is that like Jewish control of Americans' foreign apparatus is creating chaos. It's creating war and is creating all these issues because they can't. And they have multiple issues, right? So, like, they have large overarching goals. But as Doomer and I were talking about yesterday, like, name me any one of these things that they would sell out Israel for. Well, there's none. Would they sell out any one of these things for Israel? Well, the answer is yes. Like, sure, we would like to sort of challenge China, protect Taiwan, and challenge China. But when it comes down to it, which one will get stabbed in the back, and which one won't? Right. Would we take away resources from Israel to protect Taiwan? No. Absolutely not. But the reverse happens all the time, right? So that's how you know what the real what the real agenda is.
So Trump's approval rating is lower than Biden's was at its worst.
By far. No, he's the least since public opinion polling has been a thing. Trump is the least popular president ever
through his own actions. And this is after
no one
doing
himself to blame. There's no media
after he took over the media.
Yes,
after he's revised the media to be more favorable to him.
Yep. And in education as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So we got to go over here to armreg.us. Yeah. I always trip myself up now that they added armreg.us to their constellation of online properties. Mm-hmm. Armreg.us, armreg.co.uk, armreg_official on Twitter. You can use discount code TRS1 for 15% off. They want you to grab the hoax of the 20th century.
Yes, this is one you got to get. This is important. This is limited. This is also limited edition, so you're not going to be able to get this in a little while.
Leather bound,
so
and then in a box that goes over the leather. Well, it's probably pleather bound, right? Isn't it leather bound?
It's a pseudo leather. Yeah, it's a pseudo. It's not real. But again, it's nice.
It's a beautiful edition.
It's a nice durable edition. It's very nice.
Good stuff. Want to grab that? They also have one of my favorite Elton John songs.
Gerbils
in the Jews. Oh, Gerbils on the Jews. I thought it was Ant. Okay. Gerbils on the Jews. Edited, translated, introduced by Thomas Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. He's going to be talking about a diary that is much misquoted and misinterpreted to try to play gotchas with, because as you know, there's no order, there's no policy from the Third Reich that had anything to do with exterminating anybody. But this is one of the sources that they try to bastardize to try to create evidence where none exists of such orders and policies, which is good stuff. I like this one here. Auschwitz Sonderkommando.
That one I've got.
Nine eyewitnesses testimonies analyzed. Look at that
this
cover
is
art.
So good.
That's nasty.
That is good stuff. Yeah.
Sonderkommando doesn't mean anything cool. It just means like Jewish traitor. Really?
Yeah. They're trying to depict the Nazi there, some kind of like nigger ape or something like that. But it's like
it's a weird looking.
That's
a Metonio.
Yeah.
There's three volumes. Three volumes of that one.
Yes, this is good. This is a 1.5 speed on dumb shit.
This trilogy of profound source criticism is essential to all those who want to understand the propaganda origins of the Auschwitz gas chamber narrative. The witness testimonies thoroughly scrutinized in these three books are the very foundation upon which that myth was erected. That homicidal gas chambers existed during World War II at the infamous Auschwitz camp. Without these testimonies, the orthodoxy would have no case at all for their claims. The various testimonies of all together 25 former Auschwitz inmates who claim to have worked in or next to the purported gas chambers of Auschwitz are critically examined. These three studies juxtapose these accounts with logic, forensic evidence, technical feasibility, documented facts, and last but not least, with their mutual and internal contradictions. That's the most important part, thus revealing they are all untruthful on many levels. The stuff they just make, they just like, I can put whatever I want in these things, but oh yeah, well one day the Goyim are going to start collating and comparing and contrasting your statements, being like, oh, this makes no sense. Which way did it happen? You have 25 witnesses, 25 different stories. Two Jews,
you know,
three opinions.
It's
like two Jews, three gas chamber stories.
I saw peeking out from my pile of books here, like on the Jews, and I was like, oh, there's my Goebbels on the Jews. But it wasn't. It was actually
Hitler on the Jews.
On the Jews, which you can also get at Armreg. I know they're not featuring it now, but it's still, you know, you can get it. You should get Hitler on the Jews.
Go
and
there.
Goebbels
also
on
get
the Jews.
Also get the Holocaust Encyclopedia.
Get the Holocaust.
You're going to want
you
that.
Get all these things.
Yeah. Armreg.us, armreg.co.uk, armreg_official on Twitter, discount code TRS1.
I was just saying, overwhelmingly, our audience is American. It's not 100%, but it is mostly American, and you guys can go to .us and see the prices denominated in your very own Federal Reserve notes that you know and love.
In petrodollars. How many petrodollars will this tome cost me?
You can get this for just 40 petrodollars. Actually, I don't know. I should say, I do know that the Deluxe Arthur Butts is 100 petrodollars, but 15% off, that makes it $85 if you want to get that. And I think it is worth it. I know it's a little, everyone's struggling right now, but it's worth it to get it. So,
All right, so we're going to have to watch. We'll be back. Yeah. Thank you.
You were listening to The Daily Sewer.